Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two, The Drive on KFH Radio. Happy to have Reed Forgrave from CBS Sports joining us to talk about the NBA. And boy, covering the season is one thing, and the playoffs and everything that goes on during that time. But the 3 to 4 weeks after the season now is just incredible, Reed. What was your overall take on all the activity? And we'll get into some specifics later.
I don't remember everything that's happened over the past 3 weeks because there's been so much. It's good for the NBA. This sort of drama is good for the NBA. The fact that there is this much year-round intrigue for the league, that's different than it was. I'd probably put it at when LeBron went to Miami back in 2010 as sort of the sea change moment. Adam Silver loves this. This is the fact that there are a lot of people who are as interested or even more interested in the off season and in the maneuverings and frankly in the personality conflicts and then like the relationship building between these superstar players. That is a good thing for the league. And it's also why Kevin Durant was pissed off for most of this season, because I remember being there for game one in mid-October and day before that game, KD talking to reporters and he's just like, I'm sick of talking about my contract and the season hasn't even already started. But it is, it's a great thing for the NBA. And I think it does reflect the penetration that league has gotten over the past decade. We are kind of toward the end of the LeBron era. And the LeBron era is the greatest era in the league since the Jordan era, maybe even greater because there are, I think, more marketable superstars. And I think the league is better as a whole than it was during the Jordan era.
So most of the stories within the season the last year or two have been about how X player is unhappy here, wants a trade, wants to force himself out, wants to go to this particular destination. Was this offseason kind of the fallout from so many guys just being unhappy and finding ways to get out of their situations and team together or go somewhere else?
Sure. I mean, that's part of it. Part of it is just kind of like the free agency calendar. The last big free agency year just happened to be 2016 when a bunch of players' contracts were coming up. And that was the completely crazy summer where teams went on absolutely nutsoid spending sprees. And I think one of the other interesting parts of this summer is that teams were, I don't think they restrained themselves per se, but you didn't see that many absolutely ridiculous contracts for players who probably didn't deserve them like we did back in 2016. Was it Timofey Mozgov who got like one of the most ridiculous contracts in NBA history back then? We didn't see, and I don't think we saw a single one of those contracts this summer that were just like utter and complete head scratchers. Like some people say the Sacramento Kings paid too much for Harrison Barnes. I'd say, yeah, they probably did. Harrison Barnes is a solid player. We didn't see any of those just absolutely ridiculous contracts, especially for big men. And I think that's one of the lessons the NBA has learned over the past 5 years in this Golden State Warriors era, is that the big man, what used to be considered one of the most valuable commodities in the NBA, it turns out it's kind of the most replaceable commodity in the NBA. You can't replace Karl Anthony Towns or Giannis. Those guys are unicorns, right? But like just a league average big man who can rebound and block shots and be a big body down low, there's a ton of those guys. And those guys did not get great money this summer. And I think that is smart by the owners that did not pay them all that much money.
Reed Forgrave, our guest from CBSSports.com, covers basketball both at the collegiate and NBA level. We're talking NBA with Reed. There's just so much to talk about. I was interested in Charles Barkley's comments about all this activity and how he viewed it as a negative and something that the owners are going to have to address in the next contract negotiation. Yet I look at the teams, the 32 teams out there, and I try to ask myself, how many of these fan bases have a reason to be excited about the 2019-20 season? And I'd say 70% do. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, 70% aren't contenders, of course, but I'd say there are more contenders this year than we've seen maybe in the past decade. I mean, I could look at the NBA and you probably could count 7, 8, 9 legitimate contenders, guys that you're like, oh, yeah, it would make sense if they won it all. And then, you know, you look at teams like the Atlanta Hawks or teams like the Orlando Magic to a different extent, teams like the Sacramento Kings, even teams like my hometown Minnesota Timberwolves, who they're the most frustrating franchise maybe in all of sports, but there's still a lot to like there. And Timberwolves fans, even though they look at Andrew Wiggins' contract and are like, oh, what were we thinking 2 years ago? You can still see reason for a lot of optimism in franchises like that. So I think the number of 70%, I mean, if you look at a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'd be excited right now if I were a Thunder fan, not because you're going to win this year or next year or even the year after that, but because that previous incarnation of the Thunder had kind of topped out and you knew what that team was going to be. And it was not going to be a championship team. And now you get a chance to build something exciting over the next 5 years. And that's kind of what you want as an NBA franchise. You either want to be a contender or you want to be bottoming out. You don't want to be in that middle, like where the Charlotte Hornets had been in the past 5 years or so. That's the worst place you can be in the NBA is mediocrity.
So I don't understand, I guess, why a lot of people are talking themselves out of the Lakers. And I get LeBron is older, and I get Anthony Davis and Cousins have some injury histories that aren't necessarily favorable. But James, Green, Kuzma, Davis, Cousins, Rondo, Bradley, Dudley, McGee, Cook, Caldwell, Pope. That's a championship roster to me. Why do you think people necessarily aren't giving them that kind of love?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they are or definitely don't think they should be. Do I think they are? Look, the what people think a LeBron James team should be, especially when it's LeBron James on the Lakers, is they should be the prohibitive favorite in the NBA. They're not that this year, but they're in that handful of teams that are among the favorites. I think the Clippers are a kind of in a tier of their own, not an unreachable tier like the Warriors were last year in the preseason, but they're in a tier of their own. But the Lakers are right in that next tier. I don't even want to call it a second tier because it's more like a 1B tier, but it's like Lakers, Bucks, Sixers. That's a team that I really, really like. I'm trying to think of who else, Houston Rockets, maybe the Utah Jazz, maybe another team or two. They're
Denver.
All in that second tier, which like, Denver. I mean, that's a good point. I always leave them out, which is a shame on me. But they're a team that should absolutely be in there. We don't know. Part of me, this is more just like a gut thing, if I wonder if they kind of took more of a jump, kind of outperformed their expectations last year where they could underperform them a little bit this year. But not if Jokic keeps playing like that and Jamal Murray continues his ascendance, and if Michael Porter Jr. can give them just anything, if he can just play, I mean, that is absolutely a team that can contend. So I think that's this is going back to my original point. It's a great thing for the NBA, and it's a great thing for LeBron. Like, I don't want him to be on one of those Warriors-like teams where he is the prohibitive favorite, like a couple of those Heat teams. I think it's a good thing for his legacy if he's going to win another title or two. I think it's a better thing for him to have to work for it, frankly.
Reed Forgrave, our guest, CBSSports.com. I wanted to add, you mentioned the Clippers with Landry Shamet, a big part of what they're trying to do. And then, of course, Fred VanVleet played such a key role for the Toronto Raptors in their championship run. Where do you see those two players? Are both still young guys? What kind of careers do you think they'll have?
Yeah, I mean, talking about Fred first, he's the one that I know better and have a longer history with. I love how overlooked he was. Like, at some point during the – I think it was during the finals, the video of him on draft night circulated with his draft party. I don't know if it was in Wichita or in Rockford. But he'd been drinking a little bit, and he's like, man, I didn't get drafted, but this is all part of my story, and I've been overlooked my whole life, and it's all good. Now let's get drunk. And I was like, man, he is such a great story, because you look at him, he doesn't look like an NBA player. He barely even looks like a college player. And he's so smart, and he's so hardworking, he's so tough. He is, to me, like the perfect archetype of player. Just the guy that you overlook and that can make – He made that team a championship team. I mean, Kawhi was the best player on that team, and Kyle Lowry was their leader. But you don't create championship teams in today's NBA, generally speaking, just by signing a couple of max free agents. You create them by either drafting or signing that max free agent, but also having some of those guys that you nabbed late in the first round or in the second round or undrafted and are able to turn them into something special. Fred VanVleet is a special player. I loved what Nick Nurse said after his – it was like 2 days after he had his baby was born. Fred goes after like 6 3-pointers or something like that. And Nick Nurse in the post game was like, you guys are asking me, is Fred going to play? Are you going to sit him? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I didn't even notice until you mentioned it that he'd been playing quote-unquote poorly. Yeah, he'd been missing shots, but – he contributed winning basketball. And that is like, not just Fred VanVleet in a nutshell, but that's like Shocker Nation in a nutshell. Like, that's what Wichita State basketball has done for years under Greg Marshall. I think, look, is Fred VanVleet going to be an all-star? No. Is Fred VanVleet going to either be a starting point guard in the NBA or a, sixth man for a championship caliber team? And is he going to be that for the next 5 or 10 years? Absolutely. I think Fred VanVleet's awesome. He's one of my favorite players in the league. As far as Landry goes, I mean, he's in the perfect situation now where he can play off the ball. He doesn't have to be anywhere close to a star. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be a, 10-12-point-a-game guy coming off the bench for probably the best team in the NBA. And he's going to be a key part of what they do, just spacing the floor. He might have been, ironically, if the Sixers had been able to keep him in that Tobias Harris trade, he might have been the player that catapulted the Sixers to the finals, because that was what the Sixers needed last year. They needed floor spacing, and they gave away one of the best floor spacers in the entire NBA.
Reed, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate you taking time to come on our show and talk NBA. It's a valuable part of what we're doing, and thanks again.
All right, thanks a bunch, guys.
All right, Reed Forgrave from CBSSports.com. Did you get all your answers, questions?
I think so. I still think Lakers aren't getting enough credit.
Yeah, now, Reed wasn't buying it.
Well,
he doesn't see them as a team to beat.
They are. Look at the team. Look at the roster. The Clippers, great, but they're the Clippers. And I get a lot of heat for thinking the Browns are going to be good because, they're the Browns.
An expert on who said they're not the favorite. And so I'm going to go with him over you.
How do you look at those two teams side by side and say the Clippers are better?
Because they have Kawhi and Paul George.
Anthony Davis and LeBron are a better duo.
Boy, I don't know about that.
No, I believe it.
We just saw Kawhi win a championship.
We did.
LeBron's
won a couple in his day.
I like the Clippers. I'm going to stay up late more often this season to watch them play than I ever have. Now, I say that knowing that at 9:30 I'm ready. I'm zonked out.
And the dog's ready to sleep. You're not.
Why can't I just stay up?
Why do you want to?
I used to.
So what? It's not all it's cracked up to be.
Do you know that you're talking to a man who had to get up and go to work who always stayed up till 11:30 midnight every night?
I don't get it. Leave it behind. Get some sleep.
I got things
to
do.
Take care of yourself.
I got things to do.
Not at 11:30.
I used to.
Why? Why does anyone want to be doing anything at 11:30?
I don't even have a TV in my bedroom anymore. What do you think of that?
It's incredible. Who talked you out of that one?
That's been years.
I know, but who is that? Your wife saying?
No, that's not my wife. That's me saying when you go to bed, you sleep.
It's pretty much how it works for me.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't go to bed to watch TV. I don't do that anymore.
I sometimes watch TV in bed, but very
I don't read
rarely.
In bed.
Like the Indians are still playing, I'll turn them on for a little bit before I go to sleep.
Oh, you're a simple man.
Thank you.
You really are.
I'm going to take
that.
I
don't know.
A,
it just occurred to me.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Well, take it any way you want, but it was meant to. I don't know that it's a compliment or a cut. It's just that you're simple.
It's kind of rude now that you're saying it like that.
What's different between saying you're simple?
You're a simple guy. Well,
or
thanks.
You're a simple man.
I don't know. It's like you're calling me stupid.
No.
Simple.
Simple is uncomplicated.
Well, I am a little complicated.
I'm not seeing it.
You figured me out, you think, over the years?
Oh.
You get it?
It wasn't
you
a
get
Rubik's
me.
Cube.
You get me?
You're not, again, simple. Mm. Not that hard to figure out.
Maybe.
Anyway, I think the West is going to be incredible.
Well, the East ain't too
bad. And I'm going to run down the teams, and I'm going to tell you that if their fan bases have a reason to be excited, you count them. Mark them down. I want to see if 70% is right. Milwaukee, yes. Toronto, yes. Philly, yes. Boston, yes. Indiana, yes. Brooklyn, yes. Orlando, yeah.
What do they have in Orlando? That's
Detroit?
No.
No. Charlotte? No. Miami? Yes.
They got Jimmy Butler.
Washington? No. Atlanta? Yes. The Bulls? Yes, because they're on the upswing. Cleveland? Yes.
No.
Yes, they got a new coach.
And what players?
Who'd they draft?
I don't even know.
Look it up. The Knicks? No. In the West, Golden State, yes. Denver, yes. Portland, yes. Houston, yes. Utah, yes. Oklahoma City,
no.
Maybe not so much this year, but San Antonio, always. Clippers, yes. Kings, yes.
Kings?
Lakers, yes. Minnesota, yes. Memphis, yes. New Orleans, yes. Dallas,
Memphis,
yes.
Memphis, yes. Well, they
and
got
Phoenix, no.
They got Ja Morant.
Yeah. You're not going to go buy season tickets to see Ja Morant?
I probably would.
So every team in the West has a fan base that's gung-ho, except for perhaps Phoenix.
I can't really. The Cavs drafted Dylan Windler, Dean Wade. They didn't draft, but they picked him up.
No, the first round, who'd they pick?
I don't know.
And you say you're supposedly the NBA guy?
Do you remember who they drafted?
No, but I don't sit here every day and go,
They drafted Darius Garland.
There you go, from Vanderbilt.
Who's going to start for them with a decent little young backcourt with Colin Sexton, who was historically bad.
Of course they're excited.
You are?
If I'm in Cleveland, yes.
You're excited to see Garland and Sexton.
Kevin Love back? Why wouldn't you be? Why in the world wouldn't you be? Our next
awful.
World Series of Faceoff first round match in bracket B, D, 3-seed Jason Trower, 6-seed Robert Klinkerman. Stay with us. That one is up next. You're listening to The Drive on KFH.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.